In this episode of the Texas Private School Podcast, Fort Bend and Second Baptist meet again under threat of elimination. All Saints and Regents battle for Northern supremacy. Can Lubbock Christian knock off the old guard of Dallas Christian? Can Covenant shock Holy Cross? And does the Brazos Valley Team of Destiny move on to the finals? All this and more in the semifinal preview of the Texas Private School Podcast. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Texas Private School Podcast. As always, I'm one third of your hosting crew, Wes Tollison, joining you from Dallas, Texas. Walker Lott calls in from the south in Brazos College Station. Ryan Schroeder calls in from north of the Red River in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Gentlemen, the end approaches rapidly, but we have one round before the state championships, and we have a ton of fantastic matchups on slate. Walker, I am incredibly excited to get through all of these, but before that, how has the past week been in Aggieland? Any anxious thoughts leading up to the Red River rivalry, et cetera, et cetera?
Dude, it's going to be a fun time. I know probably half our audience is on our side, and then half our audience is on the other. It just depends on where they're located. Then there's the Ryan Schroeder's of the world that are just living in Oklahoma.
Well, you know? I'm just confused. You called it wrong. You don't even know your own rivalry. It's the Lone Star Showdown, not the Red River rivalry. What are you doing? Oh my gosh.
No.
The clownage is going to go to a high extent. Lone Star Showdown. Get it right. That's all I'm going to say.
Wes.
Don't know your rivalries. Sorry. And you didn't.
That's how little
there,
I think about the University of Texas is that Oklahoma is a greater rivalry to Texas A&M. We played them more recently when we smacked the dog out of them in the 2012 Cotton Bowl. See, I know things.
Gracious. Gracious.
We don't think about you at all. The little brother stays south of Austin, and they'll be in for an interesting awakening. Walker Lott, back to the Lone Star Showdown and all things that entail.
No, it's exciting. It's a lot of storylines going into it. Is Quinn Ewers 100%? Is he healthy going into it? There's a lot of questions about that. You know, how is the team going to be? How many people are they going to stick inside Kyle Field for this one? A lot of exciting things coming down in College Station right now. So it's going to be exciting to see if everything comes to fruition. Fun times, though.
Okay, so Walker, here's my fear of the game is I am scared that we could see like a 30-35% split of Texas fans in Kyle Field. And what makes me nervous is I'll go back to ticket pull. Everyone that follows A&M knows that ticket pull for this game was an absolute disaster.
Yep.
But what seemed to have gone on is there were a lot of frats that pulled massive amounts of guest tickets for their fraternal brothers in Austin, which that goes against about every Aggie honor code I could imagine, but shame on you, shame on all of you.
This is why we shouldn't have frats on campus, you know, just kick them off campus because of this.
Hey, listen, man, join a frat, rent a friend. But if I walk in there and there is, if our student section is like 30% burnt orange, I'm not going to leave because those tickets are worth a lot of money, but I will be very upset.
No, I'm with you too. You know, I'll find a way in, and you know, we might have to go to war. You know what I mean? It's just we got to kick them out. And if that's the case, I will be very disappointed in the Aggie students, but I could definitely see it at least being like 20% orange just because of money, and on the non-student section side going orange a little bit here and there, but you'll at least have the band. You'll have the Texas band and have them in that little corner, and that'll at least be orange. But overall for the game, man, because we are also a college football podcast, maybe stay tuned to the spring where we just talk other things. But I could see it going either way. I honestly don't think either team is good. I think Texas hasn't played anyone. I think they're not going to have a healthy Quinn Ewers versus a team that – A&M's defense is not to the standard we expected them as the weeks go on, and an offense that is still not truly like elite. Like they have great moments and then they have rough moments. So like, I don't know. I could see it if I was a betting man. I could maybe go Texas's way because I think their defense is pretty good. But as a true-blooded Aggie, like it's gonna be, I think we win by one or once maybe 10 points. That's what I'm thinking. A touchdown and a field goal.
Texas is a 6-point favorite in College Station right now. I think that line's accurate. I think I will be doing the emotional hedge play that I do every year with Arkansas, where I hypothetically bet on Arkansas to win. So either way, I'm somewhat happy. And usually every time I do that, A&M wins. So we will see. Ryan Schroeder, you can, as an impartial observer, any thoughts on the Lone Star Showdown?
Well, I'm finally looking at the CFP. They're doing the top 25 right now,
Ooh.
and they just put y'all at 20.
That makes
So
sense.
it's interesting to see how it's all going to turn out. But overall, yeah, not a lot of thoughts. My thoughts are reserved to whether Oklahoma State can get their first conference win against the two top picks in the NFL draft. But whether that's true or not, we'll hopefully figure that out on Friday.
As an Oklahoma State graduate, do you think they should have played Bedlam still, or what are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think it's cool to get rid of it for a couple of years or however many years we do it for.
Yeah.
We're having Bedlam basketball on Paycom, so that's not going away. Bedlam wrestling's the day before. We're going to play them baseball still. It really will only probably be football, so
That's okay then. And
yeah.
especially at Oklahoma State, you care, like wrestling's a big deal too. So like you'll have
Oh,
other
it's
sports that
massive. It's
you like
massive, yeah.
you won't only have to worry about football. Like in A&M, it's football or nothing, you know? So
Sure. We've also got to give a hat tip to your hated rivals, Ryan, Oklahoma, for actually keeping us in the hunt for an SEC title spot. Because if they
thank
didn't,
you.
just
Yeah,
embarrass crazy.
Alabama. So yeah, only
Crazy.
time you'll ever hear me say Boomer Sooner. But thank you to Oklahoma for keeping us in a much undeserved race for the SEC title. That being said, as mentioned before, we're actually not a college football podcast. We are a Texas private school podcast, and we have a long and enduring slate to get through, but gosh darn it, I'm excited for it. Before we get into the five games of the week, we're going to give brief commentary, and I mean brief because we have a lot to get through on the first, what, like three games that we didn't in-depth preview. So we didn't, we're going to start in Division One. We didn't slate out either of these games because, you know, there's pretty definitive favorites in each spot. The first being Liberty Christian versus Houston St. Thomas at Argyle Liberty at 5 o'clock on Saturday. Liberty's the pick here. St. Thomas is fine. They weren't even the champions out of the D1 South, and I
Yeah.
mean they might keep it within 50, but Liberty Christian.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's Liberty. I'm interested to see how like a guy like Derek Stevenson plays, right? Like I think a true like Division One guy. How does he put up on the stat line? How does Obinna Ume compete in this one? I want to see the guys who I think can go Division One football in the St. Thomas team compete against true Division One guys on this Liberty Christian squad. That's going the only storyline I would be watching. In this game, other than that, a lot of points will by Liberty Christian will be scored in this one.
Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, this game is not even necessarily anywhere near close. I mean, I mean, this is probably one of the most lopsided semifinals we've seen in a long time. I know we've seen a lot of lopsided semifinals in D1, but I think this one's even closer to like, I mean, the South, we'll talk about it in a second, but the fifth seed in the North is just beat the number one seed in the South. So just take that into
By a
account
lot.
for, yeah,
Yeah.
just take that into account about like how different these two sides of the North and the South are. But yeah, Liberty by a lot.
Flipping to the other side of the bracket, we see Parish Episcopal and Frisco Legacy. Ryan Schroeder took issue with us,
Yeah.
me picking Covenant Christian versus Holy Cross to preview instead of this game. Ryan, let's just air out your grievances now regarding not putting Parish Legacy on the script in favor of Covenant Holy Cross.
We'll obviously get to the Holy Cross game eventually. But like I'm gonna tell you right now, like that game is, in my opinion, not going to be anywhere near any close. And I know Wes and Walker obviously probably think that like Parish Legacy is not going to be anywhere near close. And like I can understand why. Like you look at the last game they played, and I was there in person, and we lost by what is that? I'm not great at math. That's
It was
28 points,
29, I think.
29 points, 29 points. Like that wasn't close. Like I understand that, but like at the same time, like. The way things have changed for Legacy and the way things have changed for Parrish too, since like September 27th, obviously both teams have kind of gone in a positive trajectory. Parrish has really gotten into the mold of what they want to be. I mean, their elite offense is truly, putting them at an advantage over most every team. And their defense obviously is lackluster compared to other Parrish teams, but they're still making up for it on ends where and when it matters, like they did last week against Prestonwood. They really made it count when it mattered. But the true thing I wanted to talk about was just, yeah, this Legacy team can go band for band with this Parrish team. And that the time when Legacy played Parrish, hold on. The time when Legacy played Parrish last time, it was Ian Pulte's team, and now it's Luke Lawrence's team. Luke Lawrence came into that game. I'm pretty sure that's when Ian Pulte got hurt, but Luke Lawrence has taken over. It has been basically his team from that point on. Luke has really stepped up. He's a junior, obviously, right? He's been playing really, really well. And overall, just a lot of the other assets, facets of how Legacy is. There's a lot of things that I'll obviously point out. The offense-wise, offense to offense, apples to apples, I realize Parrish is much better. But special teams-wise, is Legacy is far better. And then defense-wise, I think it's pretty comparable in some aspects. I think Legacy's defense, you could even argue, is better in some facets. But all that to say, obviously, if you really want my true opinion, I think Parrish is going to win. I don't th I to think that that game will be as big of a blowout as the Holy Cross Covenant game is just blasphemy, because I understand what Parrish just did to Prestonwood, but Legacy kept it close with Prestonwood. Legacy played really well against Parrish for the first part, and Luke Lawrence, give him a chance to prove what he can do by himself with this team, instead of, now knowing the team and now knowing that he's been the starter for however many weeks.
We'll see. I mean, you can definitely make the argument that Parrish's defense couldn't stop a strong breeze. And looking at the point totals against them, seeing especially Pius putting up, 27 in the first
True.
half, and especially with how good that Legacy offense looked when you saw them, Walker. I mean, but that's also like Parrish has had some problems, but also remember Parrish wasn't playing guys like Pyle and Darby and their top athletes on defense against Legacy. They're doing that now. They've now realized like all chips are in the middle of the table. Like
Right.
this is win or go home. I don't know. I think that the point differential between Legacy Parrish and Covenant Holy Cross will be close. I mean, I'll fall in that sort if I'm wrong. We're all in agreement that Parrish is going to win. It's just semantics now by how much. I still think it's a 30-point game. Ish. You can also make the argument that Sawyer's banged up, but he was banged up last week and had a career performance. I don't know. Walker, those are my thoughts. I'm curious to hear if you differ in any aspect.
No, I think you are correct that I think the weakness of Parrish this year is definitely their defense. And I could see, of course, Frisco Legacy scoring on them, but this isn't the Antonia defense, right? They're not going to leave guys wide open like Antonia did for four straight drives. Like, this is going to be a defense that is at least going to be combative. And I like Luke Lawrence. I like the team, and I think they have weapons. You can't, and this is gonna be Wes's least favorite word, but and not the glaze, but you can't doubt seven right now, right? Like you gotta go with the guy who had just put up one of the game of his career last week. So I'm gonna go with that offense. I'm gonna go with Sawyer Anderson. I'm gonna go with Parrish in this one easily.
The one last thing I'll say, we can 100% move on. I know y'all hit it on the recap, so I don't want to hit it too hard. Obviously, I didn't get to talk about, the D1s having home field advantage. Obviously, it really is not that big of an issue for this game, as it's literally a 20-minute drive for Legacy.
Right.
But to even think in one capacity that St. Thomas would win that game, and then adding on top of the fact that they got a drive from Houston, bro. Like, even this game's not great either. They're playing on Saturday at 7 o'clock over Thanksgiving, right? And it's at Parrish. Like, there's a lot of things like that that don't go in Legacy's favor. I mean, yeah, if this was at the Star, like, I know y'all talked about it. I don't want to go too much into it, but like, just another, in my opinion, and what my parents' opinion too, just another way that they can solidify a Parrish Liberty final. But that's just, yeah.
Yeah, and that stinks that like Parrish versus Legacy, I don't think is a big deal in a semifinal game at home. But like for St. Thomas, if you make it to a state semifinal, why are you playing at the home field of Liberty? I mean, I understand
Preach,
that
bro.
there's more logistics and forces in play here that we're glossing over that we really can't. But at the base of the issue, I don't want to see a team that has battled their butts off and make it to be one of the last four standing to have to drive and play an away game. It doesn't make sense to
Yeah,
me. Again,
100%.
I know we're glossing over a lot of things that factor into this,
Okay,
but
question. Okay, and I agree with you there, but would you rather play like
I know this is a little different because it's a longer drives, but like for All Saints Regents, they're playing in McGregor. Would you rather play in McGregor or at a home stadium of like one of the bigger teams?
I'd rather
I
it be a
don't
neutral
know.
site.
Really? Oh,
I
McGregor.
really would rather it be a
It's
neutral
a
site, 'cause
small town outside of Waco.
that feels
Yeah.
like deep round playoff football for me. It's more just feel. Like I don't know.
I get your point there, 100%. Like going, getting on the bus, going to the stadium,
'Cause
prepping.
it
Like,
feels
yeah.
less like a normal district game that way. Like I don't know. There's a special air of neutral site, November playoff football. Maybe I'm just grasping at straws. I'm old man yells at cloud, but it's just my thoughts on the issue. All the D2 and D3 games we're going to preview more in depth here shortly. One D4 game we will preview, but the other one that we're not going to talk about that we will now is Dallas First Baptist at Central Texas Christian. I'm not even going to waste 30 seconds on this. Dallas First Baptist is. They have to win this game by, 40, 45 points, I think. They're just too good. No, it's no disrespect against Central Texas Christian. It's just it's a team that is beating the dog out of everyone. It could compete in TAPS D1, I think. It's First Baptist.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt in my mind. I have nothing else to say on it.
I will say this, I 100% agree with y'all. That is going to be my pick as well. But like I said on the space and last episode, this game is a interesting one because if Central Texas somehow in some way makes it a three score game, right? It makes it closer than what we expect. Then it's a little then I think Brazos Christian might make it a game. But if it's a blowout for First Baptist, I think that's kind of what you expect in the state championship. So it's kind of a study. It's a test game to see how the state game will go.
It's funny. That's almost word for word what I talk about at the end of my Holy Cross covenant script, but we will get there when we arrive. We will start getting in to our five games of the week that we will review in more detail. First Baptist versus Second. Nope, that's Fort Bend Christian versus Second Baptist. I got to stop writing abbreviations because I'm losing my mind this late in the season. Once again, we see these two old foes face off in an elimination game. Second Baptist entered the season as the most likely contender to make the title game out of the South. And it was a very hard point to argue with Cannon Toon entering his junior season at quarterback, Bryce Butler looking like a Division I prospect, and Langston Davis running like a madman. And that's the way it looked the first 8 weeks of the season until Fort Bend knocked them off 34 to 28. Fort Bend started 1-4. Bookended by a 56-point loss to Liberty Christian and a 24-point loss to Tomball Christian Homeschool. But following that embarrassment, they've ripped off seven straight wins and an undefeated district championship. Cole Whitten, Blake Hamilton, and Tyler Curry have emerged as stars for the Eagles. The first time around, the Eagles won without scoring a passing touchdown as Cole Whitten ran for three, Darnell Smith for one, and Cannon Campworth for over 100 yards. However, we've received word that several key players are very banged up for Fort Bend Christian. But I've learned that it is very unwise to bet against the Eagles in November. But I never claim to be a wise man. I'm taking Second Baptist here. I know that's crazy, and I know I have doubted and bet against Fort Bend Christian all season. In the first time they played against TWCA in the district finale, I just think, as our good friend Jack Klosek hammers home, that it is hard to beat a team twice, especially, I don't know if Curry's able to go. There's another dislocated shoulder on that team. If there's any uncertainty surrounding Fort Bend Christian, I got to take Second Baptist. That hurts me. I'm the biggest Fort Bend Christian homer when we get into November. Ryan accused me of the G word like four times talking about it last episode. I'm taking Second Baptist. I'm taking Cannon Toon and company to get their get back. I think that the Eagles of Second can take this game. Walker.
Yeah, I need to go get a prop. So, Ryan, I'm gonna pass this game on to you very quickly.
Well, I would have had a prop myself, if I'm being completely honest, but mail takes more than a day to get here. So, I think you know where I'm gonna go. Obviously, last week's fiasco really put me in the limelight to support a team that I truly thought was gonna have a run and thought they were gonna have a run even after some of their losses this year. Obviously, one of the games of the year, not game of the year, that's kind of a crazy thing to say, but a really good game this year was the Second Baptist Fort Bend game the first time around. And obviously, that went in Fort Bend's favor. Fort Bend has really had a year that some would document as like the 2022 year, right? Where it was just one of those years where they're on their grind. Like this is when they feel like they're in in the flow state at the moment. But the flow state's going to come to an end, and it's going to come to an end at the Second Baptist Eagles. I mean, it comes down to a point where there's one team that's been prepared all season to make the state championship, and there's one team that's been prepared all season to hopefully make a comeback to the state championship, or make a run like they did in 2022. One team's prepared, one team is there for the show at the moment, and I think Second Baptist is there to stay. So, I'm not gonna say it's an Eagle party, but we might save that. But it's a Second Baptist party for sure.
Walker. Yeah, did someone say an eagle party?
There's
Yeah,
two eagles, so I can't
it's
say Eagle party.
absolutely an eagle party. Give me Second Baptist. But yeah, give me Second Baptist in this one. Like you kind of said, I can't really bet against the Eagles in this spot. I think after the big win over Brownsville, it came away impressed, and I think they're back on track after playing a close one against TWCA and losing by 7 to Fort Bend earlier. I just kind of think they're going to respond well. I think they're going to be coached well, and I think they get the job done here. I kind of think this is the game where a Bryce Butler kind of shows like why he's that good and why he is one of the best players in TXPS. And with Langston Davis going to be back this week, I think that's going to be even more special. So, give me those guys. Give me Cannon Toon. Give me the Eagles from Second Baptist.
One last thing. This is gonna be really ignorant. But like, dude, I don't think the St. Joseph Brownsville St. Joseph win was a good win. Like, theoretically, like they won what they're supposed to win by. You know what I'm saying? Like, Brownsville St. Joseph. I know I picked them first round, but like, they're still not that great of a team. They had one player who was just the best player in that entire district. Whatever, like. They have one player. He's like Claudio Torres is by himself, just a great player. That team overall is not that good. So, like, in the grand scheme of things, Second Baptist won by 19. If you're looking at it from an entire perspective, like, Second Baptist has to show up more than they did at St. Joseph's in this Fort Bend game because Fort Bend's going to come at them like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. That's kind of how I see things with this.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think it's fair to say that they handled business in the way that they should have. You know, it was a 1-point game at the half, so really it was close. I think St. Joe's was they were better than what we had seen in previous years, where they destroyed everyone in district and then got, you know, blitzed round one. So they're better than previous years, but also not the standard by which Second Baptist measures themselves. But regardless, they won. We're all three on the side of the Eagles from Second Baptist. That makes me nervous. And of course, it means Fort Bend will end up winning, and we will see all of our nice faces on Fort Bend's Barstool. Looking forward to that. We will now move on to a Northern matchup in Division Two, Austin Regents versus Fort Worth All Saints. I know Austin isn't in North Texas, but that's the way the districts are. Cry about it. Regents has continued a tradition of excellence, going 11-1 on the season thus far, with that only loss being to eventual SBC 4A champions Kincaid. Sophomore quarterback Jack Devine has been a machine this year with 34 passing touchdowns, 12 apiece to juniors Cade Millington and Blake Smith. Regents has also allowed an impressive 15 points per game while scoring 44. On the flip side, All Saints emerged as the favorites early following wins over Division I behemoths Parrish and Prestonwood. The Saints are a perfect 12-0 on the season, in large part due to the efforts of senior quarterback Gavin Parkhurst. Parkhurst has accounted for 44 touchdowns on the year. 17 of those through the air have found 6'5 Boise State commit Comonte Williams, as Bryce Anderson and Hudson Resor round out an elite passing attack. Cole Powell Freeman has gotten it done on the ground as Dalton Knapp and Jacob Bay-Nord round out what might be the best front seven in the division. I'll keep it short and sweet. Both of these teams have played the best in TXPS. All Saints beat Parrish and Prestonwood, and Regents lost to Kincaid. I know all of these games were early in the season, but I think it means that All Saints is battle tested. If the Saints can keep the personal fouls under 17 in this one, I would pencil them into the title game. I from a talent standpoint, it's All Saints, and it's unquestioned. Coach Beck does a fantastic job every year amassing what usually is the most talented team in the division. Regents also has their fair share of talent with Devine, Smith, etc. It's going to come down to can All Saints play disciplined football. I know it's cliche with All Saints at this point, but we've seen in many spots where they shoot themselves in the foot with stupid penalties. And you can get away with that with a team like Brook Hill, but not against Regents. I know I just said all the Saints are going to win. I think they're going to win. They just have to make sure disciplined football is played. They keep their feet under them, but I'm still taking the Saints. Walker Lot.
Man, this is going to be a fun one. This is the game I will be at on Saturday at noon out in McGregor. It'll be a fun one. I'm excited because I think this is going to be a competitive one. You know, Regents, when it comes to playoffs, they're probably one of the most historic programs. They know how to win in playoffs. It's been their standard for years now, a decade almost even. And so it's kind of what you expect for them to compete. And I think all this is, might be, since the Parrish and the Preston ones, this might be All Saints' toughest task they've played. You have to remember, yeah, you talk about Parkhurst accounting for 44 touchdowns on the year. Jack Devine is accounted for 45. Like, he's had a phenomenal year as a sophomore. And, you know, I talked a lot about Rogan Parson last week, but I think Jack Devine is right up there with him, like 1A, 1B type of situation for the top 27 gunslinger at TXPS. He is more of the dual threat. He'll get it done with his legs. He has 11 touchdowns on the year with his legs, another 500 on the ground rushing yards. Like, this is what he does. And he has weapons. Cade Millington, Blake Smith, Jack Burkle, Sam Pope, etc. Like, they have dudes, Bobby Long. That offense is legit, and they have weapons on the defensive side as well. Drew Novi, etc. Graham Reinches. But this is what you expect. This is going to be an amazing game. Two tough teams, two teams that are always going to out-scheme other teams, are now facing each other. And you know what? I was wearing a hat a second ago, and I might put it on back on. But not today. I'm picking the All Saints in this one. I just, you can't doubt, I think Gavin Parker's in this scenario. He's a winner, like we said last week. I think he gets the job done here. And they move on to the state championship. It's going to be interesting to see. I've seen Regents once this year. I've never seen Second Baptist or whatever, All Saints in this one. So it's going to be interesting to see how they match up. I think the bigger team is All Saints in this one, so I wonder if that plays into their favor.
Ryan Schroeder, we are two on the side of Fort Worth All Saints in a game that I think will be very close. I'm curious to see where you go.
I'm actually really excited about this game. This game just truly screams like playoff football. Two teams that basically went nearly perfect. I mean, they both went perfect when you think about it against like Taps teams, whatever. I mean, the Kincaid loss is the only loss, and Kincaid is in that same category for top four team in all of TXPS. So like, there's no fault for the way either of these teams have played this year. The number one thing I like to think about is Gavin Parkhurst and Jack Devine, although a little bit different situations, they both came to take a team over, right? Obviously Jack was behind Quinn last year, you know, takes Quinn's job now for the starting role at Regents. Gavin switching over from TVS over to All Saints takes the job there. Like, both guys came into their own of these different squads, obviously different situations, but with all that to be said, they've both had an incredible years. But the supporting cast is truly better on All Saints, and I think that's really where it comes down to, right? The amount of guys All Saints has when it comes to just the defensive side of things, as well as just, you know, the dudes, like you said, Wes, that they brought in. I mean, this is a talented squad. Regents has had a great year as well. I mean, there's a lot of talented guys on this squad. Blake Smith was one of my, you know, favorite guys watching this entire year, just with the way he played. And overall, you know, I truly think that All Saints just had an incredible year. Literally, you could call it a top three here if they end up winning the state championship as well, up there with Liberty and Kincaid. And with that being said, with my brand new polo I just got this week, make sure to tell you right there, All Saints, appreciate y'all. That's another state championship appearance for the boys from Fort Worth.
Yeah, full disclosure, I got those polos literally week one of the season, and it has been sitting in my closet for the last like 12-13 weeks. I was like, oh, we need to get that to Ryan. So yet again, shout out to All Saints and the Letterman's Club. I've worn that polo to work like 6 or 7 times. They're very solid. That's not why we're picking them. I want to make that very clear. But All Saints, we all pick to move on. The next game, Lubbock Christian versus Dallas Christian, moving down to Division III. The three-time defending state champions have quietly gone 9-2 this season, absolutely blitzing a poor district schedule. Except for Dallas Covenant, where DC escaped with an 11-point win, the strength of this Chargers team is certainly their backfield. Senior Syracuse commit quarterback Luke Kearney is putting up elite numbers in his swan song season, 3,000 total yards and close to 40 touchdowns. SMU offered senior running back Titus Muse has garnered 1,500 yards and 23 touchdowns on the ground, while senior wide receiver Dylan Turner has been Kearney's favorite target through the air thus far with 670 yards and 7 touchdowns. Senior linebacker Darius Roberts leads this team defensively with 82 tackles and 5 tackles for loss on the season, as big Gary Jefferson will certainly be lurking as well. Let's turn our eyes out west. Welker Horn is one of the better quarterbacks in the state, and Lubbock Christian has absolutely blitzed their schedule as well up to this point. 10-1 on the year and exhibiting a similar margin of victory over the subpar teams All Saints and Pantego that Dallas Christian has. And that being said, I'm going to take Dallas Christian. And I'm not taking them in a blowout like I normally take Dallas Christian teams. I think this is a very even matchup. I haven't seen Lubbock Christian this year. Walker has. I think he came away impressed, obviously, with Walker Horn and the rest of the guys on that squad. It's just Dallas Christian still has dogs. And we haven't talked about them as much this season because of how good Holy Cross has been and taking a bit of that limelight. But we still cannot forget that the South runs through Mesquite, or the Division III runs through Mesquite until proven otherwise. I'm rolling with the Chargers. Walker, I'm curious to hear what you think.
No, this is going to be a fun one, man. I'm really excited about this one. You know, I'll give a little bit more about the dudes over at Lubbock Christian because I've seen them. You know, Welko Horn is the guy who is going to Trinity. He's committed to Trinity. But, man, I know they're one of the top D3 programs in the country, and it's a great place to go with academics and all that. But, man, he can go way higher, in my opinion. I think he absolutely can. So it's going to be interesting to see if he does. But around him, there are some weapons for him. Keaton Lee was a guy during that Covenant game that would just showed out and shined, his main target on the outside, 6'2" wide receiver. Ryder Scott was a lockdown corner, number the senior at 6'1", maybe probably looks like 6'2", man. He's a long, lanky corner that's going to be interesting to see how he lines up. I'm guessing more Dylan Turner's on the inside, so maybe not that matchup, but whoever is their outside guy. And guys, I didn't even get to see Day-Day Atkins and Cooper Carthel when I watched them play last time. But those are two other big weapons for Lubbock Christian in this game. So it's going to be interesting to see how Lubbock Christian matches up, because I think they have the dudes, man. They might have a more balanced team than Lubbock Christian, but I think that, you know, it's hard to go against a guy like Luke Kearney, Titus Muse, and their offensive line might be the biggest Lubbock Christian has seen all year, right? So when you combine all of that in a guy who is looking like one of the best players to ever come out of Dallas Christian, it's hard to pick against him, and I'm not going to. I'm going to pick Dallas Christian in this one. Luke Kearney looks impressive. I think, you know, he kind of like Gavin Parker's a second ago, there is not a better winner and taps than Luke Kearney, which I think I saw a tweet the other day that he has the most wins in taps history. Like, he's a proven winner because he gets the job done. And I think we forget because of, you know, it is the D3, and the Dallas Christian had a, not a great year, just not a, they're, because they're still Dallas Christian, but like they haven't made noise like they've kind of done in years past up to this point. We forget to talk about Luke Kearney because of how good this kid is. There's a reason he's a top 10 quarterback in the state of Texas. There's a reason a lot of colleges, Power Four colleges, have wanted to offer him, and he chose Syracuse. I think he gets the job done here, and I think he gets the impact win on his senior season. Give me Luke Kearney and the Dallas Christian Chargers.
Ryan Schroeder, 2 for 2 on the team from Mesquite. Which way are you going?
This is going to sound really crazy. So obviously I've seen Dallas Christian play for years, right? Ever since high school, I was a huge Dallas Christian hater in high school, mostly because,
as was I,
you know, there's Prince of Peace, which just wasn't competition back in the day, but then there's literally Dallas Christian, and Dallas Christian in every sport, every facet I was against, but I've come to realize how great Dallas Christian program was over all these years, right? We've seen them play in countless amount of state championships. We've seen guys like no other come out of that program. But this is an off year. This is a year where they knew that, you know, they didn't have as many guys come in. And so in turn, they really didn't schedule the hardest non-district slate that you would see, you know, like only Cornerstone. Prestonwood was a late add, if I'm not mistaken. That was a
correct
late add.
Fell through.
And then Atlas Homeschool, Pittsburgh. I mean, a lot of these teams are not that competitive of what they used to do. Dallas Christian used to schedule some crazy non-district matchups. And I think that's indicative of really how their program just wasn't up to par of what they usually are of like Parish Episcopal, but not to the same standard. I think Dallas Christian has not hit the bar this year differently than what Parish hasn't hit the bar, because Parish is still going to probably go to the state championship. In my opinion, Dallas Christian will not be going to the state championship. With that being said, Welker Horn and the boys at Lubbock Christian
Wow.
are going to get it done. The reason why I say this mostly is because I actually think that Lubbock Christian has less to play for, if you know what I mean. Like, Lubbock Christian truly is coming in here with a non-district slate full of public schools in West Texas. They're coming in here with, the harder slate in district, to be honest. Like, they had to play Colleyville Covenant. Colleyville Covenant is a better team than some would think. Obviously, I crapped on them earlier in the Holy Cross game that we're about to get to, but like, in the grand scheme of things, another Final Four team that they beat. I haven't seen Dallas Christian beat anybody of that caliber. So with that being said, give me Lubbock Christian here on what is that? Is that what 29th? Is that Saturday or is that
It is a Friday
Friday?
night.
So Friday night at 6 o'clock out in Clyde High School near Abilene. Give me Lubbock Christian.
I like it. I like it. It's a bold pick, and it's indicative of how much more competitive we think Division III is this year. It'll be a fun time in Clyde come Friday, Walker.
This last thing, if he wins that pick, which I'm guessing how the next couple of games go, that solidifies him winning the pick record. If he doesn't win that, me and him go into the state week tied probably, and that makes things interesting.
That will be interesting. I think I might be mathematically eliminated now unless I just start picking every game against y'all, which now isn't possible, realizing that we've picked all the same up to this point, except a little bit Christian. We'll see. I'll come up with some crazy strategy moving into state week. Let us move on into the penultimate game we will cover: Covenant Christian versus San Antonio Holy Cross. The Cougars of Covenant have put together a nice 8-4 season, with their only district loss being that 52-45 game against Lubbock Christian. This Covenant team is another that boasts an impressive backfield. Running back Coral Buckhalter Jr., son of 10-year NFL vet Coral Buckhalter, is a freak. Walker had mentioned him, and I finally turned the tape on, and this kid will be one of the best backs in TXPS, bar none. 689 yards thus far and 17 touchdowns. He's a get him the ball and get the heck out of the way type player. He runs like he's shot out of a cannon, and he just scoffs at arm tackles. Junior quarterback Jason Fleming has had an impressive year as well, passing for over 2,000 yards as well as 17 touchdowns, but not without 11 interceptions. Junior wide receiver AJ Turner has hauled in 507 receiving yards and a couple touchdowns, as AJ Guerrero leads the team with 6. Zooming out, Covenant is certainly one of the better teams in Division III, but not necessarily elite. A good win over Dallas Covenant and a good showing against Lubbock Christian while they were banged up, but they got whacked by First Baptist, who Holy Cross beat handily. Speaking of the Knights, senior quarterback Gibby Alvarado is having an elite senior year. Over 3,000 total yards, 37 touchdowns to only 4 interceptions. This is the playmaker we knew he would turn into in his final season. Athlete Louis Lopez also shoulders the weight on the ground, rushing for 740 yards and 14 touchdowns. Alvarado has two elite receivers in Marco Gomez and Nick Hall, who have 900 yards, 12 touchdowns, and 840 and 11, respectively. You say, okay, but their defense can't possibly be as good. Well, they're averaging 8 points per game allowed with 5 shutouts on the year, so maybe so. And with guys like Marcus Perez, Andrew Ybarra, and Jose Lerma, not taking Holy Cross in this spot is insane. How badly they beat Covenant here, I think, sets my expectations for state. Within 3 scores, and I'm keeping an eye on Dallas Christian or Lubbock Christian to make a run. A complete blowout pretty much solidifies my state title pick. I said it off top, I'm taking Holy Cross. The more interesting thing is I'm interested in how much they win by, because like Walker said, for the other game in division, I think that was Division One, no, Division Two, that we're looking at this game kind of as a measuring stick to see, okay, How's Holy Cross going to fare from the team on the other side of the bracket? Not to overlook or disrespect Covenant Christian at all, but from a media standpoint, that's what I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Walker, I'm taking the Knights to continue what is one of the better seasons we have seen in TXPS. Which way are you swinging?
Why not the team from 426 San Felipe, North San Felipe? Just what a year for them. They're 12-0 right now. They're going to go to 13-0 with this one. A guy that you didn't even mention, Wes, who I think is going to be one of their most important players, is Patrick Ortiz, who leads almost, I think he leads taps with 9 interceptions through 12 weeks. He's having an unbelievable year. He's also one of their top receivers as well. You didn't even mention Isaiah Jackson Rice. Like, they have so many dudes on this team. It's hard not to talk about all these guys on this team. It's just, when you have so many weapons, it's hard to lock this team down. And like I said, and y'all were like, oh, it's crazy, it's crazy. I do think Covenant gives them the toughest test of their season so far. They have not faced a true, I think, potentially Division I backing Coral Buckhalter. I think he's a true, legit guy. I just don't think they have enough weapons, and they will not play the physical type of football that Holy Cross is known to play, right? Holy Cross will come at you, hit you in the mouth, and do crazy things on offense and some reverses and motions and all this crazy stuff, and it'll get in your head and you won't be able to stop them. And I just think this is what happens every game, and it'll happen again tomorrow. It'll happen again tomorrow, and they'll get the job done. And I think Holy Cross moves on to their second ever state championship appearance.
Ryan Schroeder, is there any reason not to take Holy Cross in this matchup?
So I mentioned it earlier. I thought this game was absolutely blasphemous because this game's not even going to be remotely close. And I said that because, yeah, I mean, I don't think Colleyville Covenant, although they are a good team, is not up to par to what Holy Cross is. Now, let me say this off rip. Holy Cross's district is probably one of the worst districts in all of TAPS. Like, truly, bar none, one of the worst districts, okay? And you're like, okay, then who has Holy Cross played? Why are y'all hyping them up with all this, like, you know, defensive, however many points they've allowed per year? I mean, obviously the Antonian win looks really good now in the grand scheme of things because they were the number one team in the South, right? I just talked to the about how the South really wasn't that impressive, but they're a D1 South winner that they beat by 30. And then the other game that we were talking about all year is probably being a game of the year, being really close. Like, does First Baptist and Holy Cross, do they clash heads? Holy Cross beat the D4 winner, basically, quote unquote, the D4 winner by 20 points. Like, let's not forget that the fact Holy Cross is running through these teams, right? So obviously the district is not up to par of what you want out of a competitive district, not even close, but the First Baptist win is really impressive. The Central Catholic win is impressive. The Geneva Burning win, it didn't even matter. They beat them by 54. And then Antonian to start the year off, the D1 South winner. Holy Cross is going to smack Colleyville Covenant. And it's not going to be close. I get that, you know, I get that Coral Buckhalter, is that you say his name? Coral Buckhalter? Very, very good player. You know, very, very good player. But it's the same thing as Claudio Torres at Brownsville St. Joseph. One guy cannot take over in this type spot because although they're really good athletes, teams like Holy Cross will take advantage of that and basically run you over.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think people fail to realize that Holy Cross would be a Final Four team in Division One. Just think about that. They're going to, because remember, we put them in the South and they take Antonian's spot and win that. Well, I think there's a decent chance they beat Legacy, you know, in that game. And they make it. I mean, I'm just thinking, I'm simplifying the path. But
or St. Thomas.
Or St. Thomas.
By the way. Yeah, because St. Thomas is a Final Four team. But Legacy as well, I also kind of agree with you there.
I'll stand on that take. That's just how good Holy Cross is. And to your point, even in a district that flat out is bad, they said, we don't care. We're going to schedule the best teams in TAPS. We're going to schedule Antonian, Central Catholic, First Baptist, and we're going to destroy all of them.
In the middle of district. In the middle of district. The First Baptist game in the middle of district. You didn't have to care. No one cares.
That is such a badass game, in my opinion, for both sides for taking that, and especially 100%. Holy Cross being like, yeah, don't care. We're not getting tested at all. Give us some competition and just ate it right up. It gives you goosebumps to think about. All that being said, We're all taking Holy Cross. We pray they're not looking past this opponent, but our eyes as well are turning to that state champion matchup. And if we're going to see a block party on 426 North San Felipe come the end of the season. But that will not conclude this episode, as we have one final game to get through. That is the Division IV semifinal matchup of Waco Live Oak versus the Brazos Christian Eagles. 8-3 Live Oak and undefeated Brazos Christian will meet in Riesel at 5 o'clock on Friday to determine the South's representative in the D4 title game. Live Oak has had a fantastic first season in 11-man football. They swept their district with the exception of First Baptist, and they put up 21, which is about all you can ask for. In terms of common opponents, Live Oak lost to Legacy Prep 19-14, who Brazos Christian beat 43-14. Live Oak also fell to Central Texas Christian 20-12, whom Brazos Christian beat 29-12. Speaking of the Eagles, sophomore quarterback Cooper Murr has become exactly what quarterback whisperer coach Washington has envisioned, accounting for over 3,100 yards and 32 touchdowns. As a sophomore, I was content to run down and get a tackle on kickoffs. That tells you just how well Cooper Murr is performing in this spot. Big things are in this young man's future. Truett Godike and Jackson Caffey are the leading rushers and receivers on the squad outside of Caffey, with 1,379 and 1,100 combined yards, respectively. I mentioned before that Coach Washington stated before the season that he felt this was the year that everyone is fully bought into the program, and you see exactly how that has materialized. 11 straight wins with an average margin of victory of 30 points. These boys ride for the brand, and I do too. Fly, Eagles, fly. Give me Brazos Christian.
That was really good. And you actually said ride for the brand, which I was going to do my whole thing about, but I'm going to ride for the brand too. Give me Brazos Christian. Very excited about this team, man. This is everything that we thought Brazos Christian could be has turned into it. And they have turned into the team that we thought they could be. And they are winning games comfortably in playoffs. The Shiner win was impressive. I like seeing that. And I think they get the win here. It's so interesting. Like, we know nothing really about Waco Live Oak this year. So it's hard to be like, what players do they have? What players, you know, things like this. So it's going to be interesting to see how good they compare, but how can you not bet against this team? They've been on a roll offensively. And like I said, in the past couple of weeks when we've talked about this team, they're bigger up front than they have in years past. And I think that's making them the difference. They are bigger. They're physical at the line of scrimmage with Ben Tillery and guys like that. That is what wins you games. Brody Gardner is playing both ways on the offensive and defensive lines. One of the better players that have come through Brazos Christian. Like, this is the team I think that can do it and make to the state title game. For Waverly West's sake, for this whole team, our hometown team, I'm going with the Eagles, man. Shout out to the hometown team. 979 does it right.
Brian Schroeder.
I love that you know all the area codes, Walker. It's definitely, it's very special. I let me just say this. Brazos Christian hasn't let up double digit points since October 18th. Like, just think about that, man. Think about that. They never let one team score 20 points, by the way. That's another thing to think about. Like, wow. This Brazos Christian team is incredible. 11-0 season, a great season, a bought-in season, like you said, from Coach Washington. But you really can't fault Waco Live Oak. The things that this program can achieve in the future is only up from here. With that being said, like, you know, the Waco area is filled with talent. I really think Waco Live Oak has outperformed the expectations of what they had this year as well. You know, overall, just an impressive year. Nothing more to say about it from Waco Live Oak's perspective. Brazos Christian is just a hard team to run into, and you making the semifinals in your first year of 11-man football is just highly impressive. So with all that being said, I think Brazos Christian gets it done by a large margin, but Waco Live Oak has had a tremendous year.
Absolutely, they have. That game will be fun. We're obviously all expecting Brazos Christian to move on, but listen, Sex Private School football, crazier things have happened. We will have to wait and see if those crazy things materialize. But with that being said, that actually wraps up the content that we have for this episode. Gentlemen, we are rapidly approaching the end of the season. This is going to be a very, very fun week. I feel like a lot of these games are going to be close coin flips. We'll probably see our faces on the wrong side of a few social media posts, but that's what makes the game fun. Barring any further comments, we've had incredible fun doing this. We get to do it on three more episodes, the review and the next two, preview and review for state. We will see you the following Monday with the semifinal recap and back in your feed the next Thursday for the state championship preview. Keep an eye out for us in Waco, Texas, as we are always on site with many of our friends across Texas private school media, bringing you the best coverage in the state of Texas private school athletics. As always, I've been 1/3 of your host and crew, Wes Tollison. Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder have fantastically been themselves. We will see you on Monday in the semifinal recap. See you later.